Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Natalie. I just call myself Natalie because that's who I am, but I'm also StarsCast on the site, and I'm the owner of StarPsychics.com and MysticLivingToday.com and PlanetStars.com. I mean, it sounds like a lot, and it is a lot, but anyways, I love to keep busy, and I do. Anyways, tonight we're continuing our topic on how our pets support and love us when we need it. I talked about my cat, Muzzy. And, of course, Stars Maya Moon is with me tonight, the lovely Stars Maya Moon. And we have the lovely Stars Priestess Candy in the chat room right now, waiting to talk to everybody, should you go in there. Maya Moon, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thanks, Natalie. It's great to be here, as always. And hopefully we have a lot of listeners. It's a great topic and one that I feel is beneficial to everyone, and I know you probably agree with that. And how are you?
Absolutely.
And how are you doing this evening? Good?
Yes, I'm good. Actually, last night I've been trying to watch National Geographic. Every Sunday night at 11, they have a live feed in a place called Kruger Park. It's in Africa. And you know me and animals and giraffes and all. Well, this was about leopards and lions last night. And so they'll be on again next week at 11, so I'm going to watch that. And there's all kinds of good things. I watched about the blue whale, and I just gravitate to that kind of stuff. And I keep forgetting to watch it, but it's really soothing. And it's good to learn about the animals. You know, these animals that are in the wild, they're not like they're domesticated. They're not. They're totally different. You really shouldn't approach them. We've heard horror stories about things that have happened and such, but I love animals of all kind, and I always have. And just a little while ago, I was having my soup, and guess who was sitting right next to me? It was Muzzy, making sure his mom is okay and all that kind of good stuff. I like talking about pets because I think pets, even though they don't, well, some kind of talk to you, but they don't really talk. They don't speak our language, but they really can let you know how they feel about you. And when they're near you, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind how much they care for you. My cat does that. All the cats that I've ever had. I had a bad experience with one of my dogs. It just made me realize, you know, they're dogs. And cats, you know, they can hurt you. And so I'm very, I don't really approach a dog. I put my hand in its face or anything like that. But I just love them. It doesn't matter. I mean, I got over that fear because I was bit on my face really bad by my own dog. And everybody said, well, you know, now you're probably afraid of them. I'm not afraid of them. No. I probably did something wrong. I did do something wrong. I reached over the top of her, and she just spun up at me and got me three times. So, but that was a long, long time ago, and I'm fine, no scars. I should have had them, but no scars. But you have to be careful of your pets, and you have to learn how to read them, I think, don't you, Maya Moon?
Yes, I do. And I believe that the average person, what happens is they miss those first original signs. It takes a long time. I went through before I even started breeding, I was an animal communicator, but I didn't necessarily understand especially with this particular species. You know, we have species and then breed. With this breed, I didn't have all the details, and each one, just like individuals, are different. And what I spent the first couple of years in the ones that I owned, and I was lucky enough to get them as youngsters, as young puppies, is I kept the log, and I spent those were different days. I worked in the spiritual profession only part time, and so I had a lot more free time, and I spent my time watching. I watched and I made notes. I mean, I watched everything. And this was intentional. This was an intentional project on my part, because I knew that they had so much to offer, and that they had their own way of communicating with each other and responding to, you know, stimuli or to, you know, different things, sounds, noises, energy, things that we miss as humans. We don't have the same hearing, eyesight. This breed is we're probably equal in eyesight, but hearing and just their instinct is so, or their intuitiveness is so powerful that they go off energy much more than humans. Most of us rely on, you know, body language and verbal cues, and, you know, and we often, you know, make mistakes doing that. But I learned so much those couple of years and realized how much that I had missed, because I did not see those first few signs, the you know, whether it was getting ready to fight or needing to use the restroom or being tired, whatever the case may be. And so for, I think, a lot of people, the general pet owner, they may say, well, I know when she wants to go out, or I know, you know, like Muji, you know, when he's tired and he's like, come on, Mom, it's time for bed. You know, we know the basic cues, but that was a very enlightening experience, and that really got me involved in and just absolutely in awe and amazement, not only at how much they actually did give indications and give off energy and so on and so forth, but how they, when I would, you know, I call them my pack, because I always had a number of them, anywhere from 4 to 8 at one time, how they would interact and how just the slightest shift in the environment, even something that I wouldn't, you know, pay attention to, would be a shift that would, you could see it ripple through the pack, and how they would react or respond to it, whether it was positive or negative. And I believe, and I just have to say real quickly, and then I'll stop. I get extremely concerned, like you were bit by your own animal. And one thing we have to keep in mind, no matter how domesticated a cat, a dog, a horse, but I'm going to say most especially the serious bites come from dogs. You know, most people that get hurt, especially children, get mauled. And no matter how much I may trust my Aussies or my older ones, or how they've proven to me over and over again that they're stable and trustworthy, I would never leave a young child or a baby in a situation, because I never forget the fact, like you're talking about, how, you know, the wild animals are so different. But one thing that we really have to remember is that we can domesticate our animals and they can be tame and they can be trustworthy to a point. But underlying all that domestication and all the taming and the bond and the connection we formed with them, they're still instinctual animals. And when you breed, you see it at when they give birth, you see things that they don't need to do, you know, when they're being raised by humans, but it's still, it comes out more, it's more prevalent, something that's more noticeable. But, you know, I see these people that they post these pictures, I don't know if you've seen them, of these big breeds and the babies laying on the dog, and oh, isn't that cute? And I mean, literally, I just cringe. I just think,
so do I.
Oh my goodness, dude! I was gonna
ask you. They're really risking that baby or that child, because that is still an animal, and the little ones like that, they cannot read an animal like we can.
No.
You know, you get to learn your pet, or the dog, the cat, whatever it is, even a bird, you get to know.
I see it
all the time, Maya, and it scares me. And they think it's really cute. It's not cute. When your little baby loses a finger or a nose, you're not going to think it's so cute. They just let loose with it and think, oh, this is just a puppy. This is just a dog we've had forever. Well, something could go on and cause that pet to attack. I'm telling you from experience, and I was an adult, and but you really have to watch. Like, I knew Sandy, there was something wrong with her. You couldn't get near her food. She would show her teeth. She was real possessive of things. Like, you know, you could tell right away.
No.
You know, I mean, if you really watched her, I didn't even think of it. I just reacted. I mean, I did not. She wasn't even that close to me, but she did the damage. So people that are listening, you know, really unattended, your little babies laying on the floor with your pets, don't do it. Anything can happen at any moment in time, because you don't know what that pet is thinking. You have no idea. And if you cannot read your pet, I couldn't read Sandy. I didn't. I mean, she looked fine to me. But, I reached over the top of her head, and I was going to give her, she had a little bit of food. I reached over the top instead of getting off, but I was really sick at the time. Instead of getting off the bed and going in front of her, she probably would have got my hand, but I didn't even think about it. So, you know, the little kids, they don't know. They don't know anything like that. I just, if I ever see it, I always tell them. And even when, you know, when my granddaughter was little, my son had two big dogs. They had English bulldogs. Well, the one was pretty big, and the other one was not as good. Sweet dogs. However, I told my daughter-in-law, I said, remember what happened to me, and I was an adult. You've got your little girl running around with all these cute little toys and things, and that dog could grab her hand and really do damage. And it's going to happen so fast you don't even know. You have no warning. So that's what I want to warn everybody about is please don't let your kids be unattended with your pets. You might have had them for 15 years. It doesn't matter. It can happen. Because it's not people. You can't reason with them. Oh, now, don't go doing that. I mean, you can't. And you don't really get that much of a warning. Like with a dog, I had no idea. Except that I knew she would show her teeth. Like, so you knew she was possessive of stuff. And I really should have thought more about it. But like I said, I was really sick. And I thought it would be nice to share something with her. And, oh, no. No, I mean the damage. They thought I went through a car window. That's how bad my face was, and it wasn't funny. And it's a warning to everybody that listens to this or is listening tonight. I was an adult. It happened to me. Now I'm very careful. I look at the dog. There's a dog next door. Her name is Solo. She's really sweet, but you don't see yours truly putting her face down by her face. She's a lab. I'll pet her if she comes to me. And, you know, and she nuzzles, and she's really sweet. But she could turn, too. You just don't know. So, you know, so be careful out there. Just don't leave them alone, I'm telling you. And my cat, you have to be careful even with a cat. But a cat will give you a warning. You can read a cat really easily. Maybe you can read your dogs, Maya, but I can tell with Mushy. I told you, his ears get like airplanes. they turn funny. And he's got this look in his eyes. It's like a glare. And sometimes you can walk by a cat and they'll smack at you. You think it's funny. But what they're telling you is, don't come near me. I don't want to be bothered. Muji will do that, but I know Muji really well now. I mean, I'm very careful. Once you get hurt by an animal, you are always on the lookout for all kinds of little signs. And I told you about Dixie Girl, the bird. You never put your hand in a bird's cage unless you know them super well, because that's their home. Outside, you get that bird outside, you can do just about anything you want because they're stranded. They're not in their safe little house. But, you just have to be careful.
Yeah, you're cornering them and you're invading.
That's
so
right, you're invading their space. Uh-huh.
You know, they see that as a threat.
Exactly. And, you know, a few weeks ago, I mean, now Dixie bit me a little bit. Wasn't bad or anything like that, but I stayed away from inside. I filled her stuff up and I walked away. I did not bother with her because I knew I did something wrong. Maybe she wasn't feeling well. Now, this last time that I had her here when she was making all her stuff, she was perfect. She let me change her papers in her cage. But, you see, I had some space in between. I didn't keep at her over and over and over again. I let her come a few times after she tried to bite. Well, she did bite me. She grabbed my finger, but it didn't open or anything. I thought, okay, I'm backing away now, and I'm going to watch you, and I'm going to see if you want me to come close. And I was hand feeding her. Now the next time she could go bonkers again, I don't know, but every time she comes over, I'm careful with her. You learn, you really, really do. I'm very careful with pets, period. Yeah, because I got bit. I think once you get bit like that so terribly bad, it does something to you, and you are on alert all the time. And that's the best I can tell you about that kind of thing. I mean, they can be loving and wonderful, but you just have to remember that they are animals. But watching these leopards and these lions, you know, the leopards were like only about a year old, so they were like little kittens, big kittens out there playing, falling off of things and stumbling and fumbling, just like kittens do. But the guy that was talking, he said, you know, at any point in time, if we got out of our vehicle and walked over to them, because we are in their domain, their area, they could attack us. They could jump at us and bite us. There's just, you know, they play with each other, but they're still, you know, they're in their own habitat. So just view them either from glass or in a vehicle with trained people that have, really, and all of them have guns on them when you go on something like that. But, it didn't scare me from having another pet. I never had another dog after Sandy, though. I had three cats, and I've just got Muji. And it's too hard to have a dog around here. I would love to have a dog, but we don't have backyards, so we are not allowed to enclose anything here. And I'm right by a pond, and it just wouldn't be healthy and good for me or good for the dog. So, but Muji is very happy with me. You know, earlier, it's funny, I was sitting and doing my books for Stars. You know, it's tax time. And I'm sitting here, and he comes in, he's talking to me, and he looks up at me. He gives me this look, and I look at the time. Here it was like 5 o'clock. I always feed him about 4, 4:30. Well, he finally came in to get me. Okay, Mom, this is enough. I'm hungry. So I got up, and he went scampering out. He kind of prances. He's really funny when he runs a certain way. He doesn't do it all the time. It's a kind of cute little thing if you see him behind, like he's prancing. And he ran into the kitchen, and he sat down and looked up and said, okay, well, you get my drift. You know what I want? Of course, I always know what he wants. So, but if you get to know your pets, they can just be a source of making you feel good and warm. And he has this thing with his bowl for his dry food. He's always on special food. But he likes his dry food mounded up. He doesn't like it to be flat in the dish. So when he gets up there, he'll look at me, and I'll say, pardon me, you know, I better go get some more and mound it up. I mound it up, Naya, and then I stand real close to him, and he gets really close to me, and he starts to eat his food. He really likes me to be near him when he's having that food. I don't know why. It's good. It makes him feel good. Oh, she's here. Okay, she's here. Now I can look down, and I don't have to worry. But his other food, he's not like that, but only this dry food. We do it every day, and it's the same thing what he does. And even when I left for the hurricane thing, I told Diane, I said, make sure you mound up his dry food. He really likes it that way. I mean, he gets it all over the place sometimes, but they're funny. pets are, animals are funny when they're in your home. They kind of, like Muzzy does, he lets me live here, I think, and he's getting used to my son because my son is coming over almost every day, and he's not hissing at him or nothing. He's just really fine, comes close to him. So, see, they just have to get used to you. But I told my son, be careful. At any moment, he can turn on you because he doesn't live with you. You're just a visitor. Me, he depends upon me. He needs me. But he doesn't need you. So, I would always have to have a pet of some kind, I think. I don't think I was ever without a pet. I always had a parakeet or my lovebirds. Always had some kind of pet around me. And none of my friends did, but I did, because I could relate to them, I think. You know, I think they could understand me and I could understand them. So, but anyways, I think I'll give it back to you now since I've talked a storm here.
Well, and I think that one of the attributes that are so amazing about pets, that they are so intuitive and they work off of energy, you know, more so than, like we said, they can't talk. I mean, birds can, but not in the same. I mean, they can't really carry on a conversation. You know, it's a learned behavior. But the exact same things that are attributes and make them so wonderful in terms of being healing and supportive and helping us through, you know, difficult and challenging times, those are the same things that do have the potential to, in the right situation, to be triggered. That same instinct can be triggered, and that can present a situation that could be dangerous. So we're not trying to scare anyone. We're just saying that if, you know, the energy, animals give off such strong spiritual energy, and they're so intuitive. That's what allows them, you know, that's why there's therapy animals. You know, whether it's a horse or cat, dog, you know, there's all different types now that they're using. I mean, mainly therapy animals traditionally are dogs and horses quite often as well, but they're starting to, you know, broaden that horizon. So, I mean, we can just, if we're having a bad day, if we have a dog or a cat, or even a bird, we can touch that or be within, you know, in close proximity to that animal, and we can receive healing, and we're not even aware of it because they're so reliant upon that spiritual energy and their energy to, you know, that's just part of their instinct. That's part of what makes animals what animals are. And so that's an extremely positive thing, of course, and what makes this topic so great and interesting. And but that's also something that we're not always aware when it comes to children or even adults in various situations, what might be perceived by that animal. That energy can be perceived as a trigger or a threat, even though it's not at all intended. That's not the intention. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of a catch-22. What makes them so amazing, you know, I believe that animals are very natural healers. I believe they can balance and ground us, and they can be companions. I'm not trying to suggest that an animal can, for example, take the place of a life partner, a companion, or a best friend. However, you would be surprised for those that are going through a difficult time or may feel lonely, you would be surprised how much a pet can help you get over those rough times or help those tough times to be not so tough, to, you know, ease up. And the other thing that I was going to talk a little bit about is not just in getting an animal. I would encourage everyone, I mean, and you don't have to be, you know, grieving or suffering through a breakup or having just lost your job or, you know, some other terrible tragedy to justify getting an animal. I mean, even for those of us that have a fairly normal or fairly average life in terms of we're pretty happy, we're positive, we have hope, we have good self-identity and so on, they still are able to increase our joy and happiness. And aside from their antics and their interactions with us and the funny things they do, and the habits they have that we get to know, just their presence alone, it's like I compared them in some ways to gemstones and crystals. Many people, I'm one of them, I have a lot of big, huge crystals. I have a big amethyst cathedral. And so even gemstones constantly give off energy, and animals are the same way, except they have the added bonus of being able to sleep in our bed if we want, or be a companion if we want to take walks and so on. And so another thing that I had been thinking about with, you know, going into the second and final part of this series is there's a lot of humans out there that are faced with some challenges, and some of those may just be social anxiety. Perhaps they're alone or they don't have a big network or support group in their family or friends or even a mate or a partner, at least for the moment. And many people suffer some form of, we call it being shy, but it's also can be formally called social anxiety, where we're okay one-on-one, but in a crowd we can feel overwhelmed and uncomfortable and just not, that's just not something that we are easily able to go into a crowded room. And, you know, so what I would suggest to people like that, and let's say you're a person that for whatever reason, maybe the hours you work or your finances are not supportive, or maybe there's a lot of people that have certain allergies. There may be reasons why you can't actually keep a pet and have one as ownership. So there's some things to consider. One would be fostering. There's a huge, 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 huge need for people that are willing to foster all different types of animals, and it's really just a personal choice, whether it's a cat or a rabbit, or if you live on property and you want to help a horse that's been neglected, that's, you know, not necessarily going to be ridden, but just needs a safe harbor. And, you know, all you have to do is provide it with food and shelter, and if you're so inclined, but if you're not able to even do that, let's say you're not even able to foster an animal or keep it for a few days, and you're struggling with whatever may be going on in your life, volunteering at the shelter, you don't usually have to deal with a lot of people, you know, usually just a few people, and you can do things like volunteer to feed, or rather than clean up the kennels, because that's really not what we're trying, although they do need that help, and that's great if you're willing to do that, but to bring you to a point where you can benefit from the energy of animals, volunteer to, you know, work in the cattery, or maybe walk dogs, especially ones they know, and usually the shelters or these, I know they have a lot of private funded sanctuaries for all different types of animals, wild animals and domesticated ones as well. But they can always use someone, and they're usually very good about, for example, if you're not real experienced with pets, but you can see that there might be some benefits. I mean, it, in a sense, it's like therapy without having to tell somebody your life history, and, you know, you're volunteering, you're not getting paid, but you're also not having to pay either. So, you know, they're not going to take someone new and, you know, let them take out a dog, walk a dog that's been known for biting and being vicious. I mean, they're extremely cautious about things like that. or working people that love cats, working in the cattery and helping to switch cats around or clean cages? Are there some that, you know, have been, again, they've been abused or neglected, and oftentimes they need someone just like they do in the NICU for babies that need to be held, and they have that program going on. I forget what it's called. I think it's some type of grandparent, but you don't have to necessarily be a grandparent. And I'm not talking about being related to the person. But so there's those options as well. And I think when, you know, I believe strongly that not only do we benefit from that in terms of what animals are able to provide to us and exchange with us, but it also helps us in all other aspects, because once we are, you know, we're in a place where we're in an exchange of energy, we start to become empowered, and therefore it positively can impact other aspects of our life. So there's a lot to think about, and there's people that love reptiles. Some people are horrified at the thought of a snake or a turtle, or like my son has this dragon, I forget what it's called, but I know Candy said it before, and the thing has grown like you can't even believe in the last 2 weeks. You just wouldn't believe it. It doesn't live here. It lives where he lives, but he's sent me pictures. Reggie is its name. But now he has an affinity for reptiles, and even reptiles, believe it or not, they have energy that can be exchanged, and they often need just a soft, gentle touch, someone that is unafraid to work around them and clean the cage. Obviously, they don't have venomous cobras in animal shelter that, you know, they're saying.
Yeah, right.
if you get bit, I mean, it could be fatal. I mean, so I'm not suggesting anything like that. But, you know, we've talked before about how giving, like at soup kitchens or Salvation Armies or things of that nature, giving our time to humans that need help. I mean, that's still a very positive thing to do. But I know for some people, it's just too difficult, at least, you know, for the moment, perhaps, for them to be able to work and feel comfortable in crowds or around people. So thinking about, you know, in some way working with animals is really a good alternative. And you would be amazed. People that have, you know, maybe don't dislike animals but have never said, you know, oh, I just love cats, or I just love dogs, or I just love birds, or whatever. I mean, the same thing is true at, they have rescues for horses, for goats, for lambs. I mean, any animal that exists, there's some type of rescue. Maybe not every type is in your area, but if you check around, you would be probably surprised at the number of rescue organizations that are desperate for help, for someone that would be willing to just sit for a half an hour with, you know, I can't stand the commercials. I really can't even bear to watch them. And that, you know, show these poor animals out in the freezing cold just
right.
Shivering. I mean, it's just it's just like somebody's just putting a knife to my heart. And
oh, yeah,
these animals,
so it's not humane at all. It's awful. I see them too, Maya. And, you know, you just want to go and grab them all and bring them home or take them someplace, because that's, I mean, to me, that's one of the worst offenses that you could mistreat an animal like that and dump them outside. There's a lot. Now, you're talking about rescue. My daughter-in-law did bulldog rescues for South Carolina.
Oh,
yeah, now that she's working, she stopped doing it. But, oh, yeah, and that's how she ended up with one of her bulldogs. She ended up keeping it. But, yeah, there's a big organization for them, and they get money for the food if they do that. Oh, yeah, and she loved doing it. You know, they have to be thoroughly checked out, you know, all their shots and all that kind of stuff. But she did that for a long time. And now she's got a boxer, and she has a parakeet, and she has Dixie Girl, And I'm not done yet. She has sugar gliders, two of them.
Oh,
and they are the cutest. I mean, they are the cutest. The faces on these little things. Oh, my goodness. You just want to squeeze them. You just want to hold them and squeeze them. They have the cutest little face. But they really fly. I mean, they're from, I guess they're from the bat family of, or something like that. But they have this wingspan, and they take off, and they love sweet things, and they sleep during the day, and then they're up at night, but they're quiet. And, you know, you can set up their cage. It's hilarious because I had to stay there when I was from the hurricane. I couldn't come home yet. And I would look in their cage, and, oh, my God, they'd have everything torn up. I mean, if you piled some stuff in a mound, they'd flip it all. I mean, they just go crazy in there. They have so much fun.
And how tame are her sugar gliders?
Jada wanted them, right? My granddaughter. Well, that kind of didn't happen because she got afraid of them because they would jump on her and it scared her. So, you know, my daughter-in-law takes care of them and my son. And when I go over there, I love to have them on me. I mean, they're so funny. You can keep them in a pouch and it's this pouch that you put around your neck. They've taken them on vacation. And the little ones will be in the pouch, and you can just put some little bit of food down there, and they nuzzle up, and they go to sleep. I mean, they're hilarious. They really are not a lot of trouble at all. They're cute to watch, but like I said, they sleep during the day, and they're up at night. So sometimes at night you can hear them. I didn't hear anything, but I guess they can really go when they're tearing their cage apart with all their stuff, and you get these little balls that are made of like yarn. I even made a couple of little covers for them. I crocheted some stuff. Oh, it's a hoot. Yeah, they're cute. They're really cute. But she, you know, they have their hands full with all these. And then the parakeet. Oh, I told you how they got the parakeet, didn't I? My son was driving along. No, my son was on a job and he saw this parakeet in this vent, and he'll stop if there's anything in the road. I mean, that's how he is. So
he saw
this parakeet. And you know what the guy said there on the job? Oh, let it go. It'll be fine. Well, it was cold outside. And he said, no. He said that bird belongs to somebody. And who knows where. But it's a parakeet. It's not like an eagle. You know, it's just this little tiny parakeet. So he ended up bringing it home. And they have it. He could not bear to have this bird be left alone to fend for himself. But he's like that with a lot of things, that he'll see across the road. Because we're in South Carolina, so, you know, there's a lot. I mean, oh, deer, and we get a lot of babies, the doe, and, oh, God, it's just he'll stop. Make sure they get across. He'll stop all the traffic both ways if he has to. I mean, you know. That's what he does. You see things like that on TV where somebody will stop all the traffic to help a little kitten or a little dog, a little puppy that got lost and is walking in major traffic. You've seen that on TV. They will stop the traffic. Right. And, I mean, it's dangerous, yes, but can you imagine how they wander out and then they get hit? No, God, I could not stand that. But that's how they got their parakeet. My son just brought it home. He said to me, well, I guess I got to go get a cage for it. Oh, geez. I don't watch the parakeet because I have Mushy. And a parakeet is small. And Mushy is not afraid of Dixie Girl. And I don't know what he would do to a parakeet because they're a lot smaller. I mean, he might antagonize the heck out of it. I don't know. But I just, you know, I don't watch the parakeet. Just Dixie. But there are a lot of people out there like that you're talking about, bring refuge, they'll bring them in and they'll take care of them and then they'll take them someplace. My problem, you know, we had a litter of puppies, and I know how it is for you too, Maya, and I saw all the, oh, I wanted to keep them all. I didn't want them to go.
Yeah.
I had a terrible time parting with them because you get used to these little, you know, they stumble and fumble, and they're just the sweetest things to look at and to watch. You just watch them. And but, of course, I couldn't keep them all. We were in a two-bedroom, like a little bungalow when we first got married, and I didn't even have Louie, my son, at the time. So, you know, I didn't see anything wrong with keeping him in my house. It took me a long time. I did end up giving them away. But I didn't like it. It bothered me. So I really didn't want to experience that again. I mean, I have such this heart in me that I I just take them all in. You know, I mean, I know it's silly. Right. Look at how many you have had. And don't you get attached to them, Maya, when they leave? Like, does it bother you?
My husband and I both do. I mean, we cry when they leave, but then I screen.
You screen the families that are going to get these pets, these animals. Yes, yes.
That's one thing about Maya.
We'll tell everybody that's listening. She makes sure that these dogs go to good homes. I mean, and you know, she knows enough about it that you've got the signals, you know, right away. Well, this is just going to be a play dog. This is not. They're not going to take care of this dog. They're going to leave it home all day, and they're going to go to work. So you do.
The other thing is for those that, always think about. I get this attitude sometimes when I'm taking a puppy to the airport that's flying, you know, to another state, because a lot of times driving is just not it's easier on the pup to fly, to leave our home and fly and be there in a few hours, a couple hours, than it is to go on a long drive. You know, I mean, if it's just a few hours, it's not a big deal. But if we're talking about a 10-hour trip there and a 10-hour trip back, I always tell people when they ask, it's not like it used to be where they think that the animals ride under the plane, in the belly of the plane. They have special, at least the airlines that I use, and I believe they're almost all that way because of the problems they had several, many years ago, like probably 8 years or so. But they have a special area back by where, you know, how the stewardesses have their little room. They have a climate-controlled area, which is why on most of your bigger planes, they can only carry so many crates of such size. So they can usually carry, say, two dogs, depending on the size of the crate. And then one thing that's interesting, too, I was going to mention is there are cats flying, but believe it or not, more than cats are birds that fly.
Yeah, you can get birds like from the tropics. You can. Oh, yeah, you can get them from South America.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, because they're always – so I get the attitude that we breed like once every 2 years or so, once every 20 months. We don't breed very often, and it's a huge commitment. And I mean, I'm lucky being psychic that I can get a feel, but I also am very sneaky. And what I'll do is there's certain things that I wouldn't approve of. And so when I'm asking the questions, and I have a questionnaire, and then I talk to the person on the phone. And when I talk to them on the phone, I act very nonchalant. Like, you know, I might say something like, so the dog will be outside most of the time. No, you're not going to have the dog inside, are you? Acting as if that's what I assume. And there's just little things like that. And every time I'll catch someone and they'll say, yeah, we're not really big believers in having dogs inside. Check. Not getting one of my dogs.
Yeah, check. You're not getting my dog, my puppy.
In fact,
because and if you have a pet and you really love the pet, I say keep the pet inside. I mean, I see so many people that let the cats wander around, and you know, they pick up everything, and it's just not healthy for the pet to be outside like that, left alone.
It's not a pet. This isn't Africa, and they're not, you know, wild animals.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I call them lawn ornaments, and I've told more than one person, what you need to go is to go to the garden store and get yourself a statue, because that's really what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Pets need love and attention. They need to be a part of the family. Now, I'm a believer in, especially a young puppy, they need to be contained and crated. You need to have gates up because they do have accidents and they will chew. So we have to be responsible owners. I don't have a problem in people that you know, will raise up, we raise our puppies up in a crate in our bedroom, and then as they get more mature and become, you know, get past the teething stage and the puppy stage and get trustworthy, then they have free reign, you know, of the house or the room, or they can sleep without the crate. But, you know, that as long as you're not leaving them for hours and hours on end, there's nothing wrong with that. Or for people that work, you know, they have wonderful daycares. Like, I use a daycare, but what I do is I use it for socialization because it helps so that the puppy doesn't become too bonded to our family and our way, and it gives them a chance to interact with other people and rely on other people. It really is confidence building. And the daycare that I use, which is also, it's reasonable for daycare. For overnight, I think it's like $50. It's way out of my price range to leave my dog there overnight, which we rarely ever do. But they actually have outdoor areas, and they have the areas separated. The big dogs, any animal over 6 months, 6 to 8 months has to be spayed or neutered, because otherwise there would be fighting and there would be trouble. And they actually have these like playrooms, and it's so funny. The first time I saw it, I just laughed because I thought it was the coolest thing. Excuse me, but they're just set up. I mean, the furniture is animal proof. I mean, it's like a heavy plastic or whatever you want to call it. But they
right.
have like big, huge family rooms, and they have toddler-type toys and all different kinds of little tunnels. But they have couches and chairs. They have a television. They have music going. I mean, they always have at least two people supervising. And my puppies used to just go bananas when we would get there. And then they have their outdoor time, and in the summer they have a pool and a little hose that sprays and
how
all
cute
different
is that?
Things. And then they have these little cot things. And so they, if your puppy is there all day, which on occasion mine would be, not usually, usually about 5 hours, but if your puppy is there and you don't pick it up by noon, they take an hour and a half nap. And so they have a special room where they turn down the lights and they turn on soothing music for the dogs to take their naps.
How sweet is that?
Yeah.
That's pretty nice. That's pretty nice.
Yeah. So
but, yeah, I can remember I had a puppy and chewed my mother's curtains, and I never had a puppy before. I didn't know puppies would do that. I didn't know that. But, that we have so many stories to tell about them. And, you know, I was just thinking when you were talking about what Mushy does. You know, I watch TV at night, and he lays in between my legs, and we watch TV. Oh, he's usually snoozing, you know, curled up in a ball. But, you know, when I shut that television off, he gets up and he goes to the end of the bed and he watches the door. He's facing the door. He doesn't stay close to me. He's on the edge watching. Like
so
he thinks something's going to come in. What?
So he's standing there waiting for you to come in the bedroom. Is that what you mean?
No. It's when I'm in the bed and he's there with me. You know, he waits for me and then he gets his little spot and I'm watching TV, and as soon as I turn the TV off, he gets up. He's sound asleep. I've tried to trick him, and it doesn't work. He gets up, and he goes to the end of the bed, and he faces the door. It's like he's watching for somebody to come in if they should come in.
Oh, so he's kind of guarding to make
he's
sure
guarding,
that
he's guarding me. Yes, he is.
No,
and I just thought of it just while you were talking, because I always found it strange, because I don't know why. I didn't figure it. Why would he do that? Because they're so sensitive to sound. And I told you before last week that he knows when my son's coming down the drive, down the road, and he'll hear the garage door opener, but he knows he's here even before the garage door opens.
Right.
He isn't
right.
that much in tune. But now I just thought of that about him at night. Isn't that sweet? He just takes good care of his mama. That's all.
Oh, yeah.
And so
while
you're getting prepared and getting in bed, and then once you, he knows you're in bed and you're settled.
Oh, no, sometimes he's already there waiting on the side waiting for me, you know. And I told you, when I take a bath, I close the door because I don't want, he likes to jump in the tub. And I am always afraid one day he's going to get in there and it's going to scare him to death because he doesn't like water like that, but he doesn't realize it. So I always protect him. And then I come out and then I'll call him. Sometimes he's sleeping on the chair or whatever, and he likes me to clap my hands, and he comes flying in. He'll come flying in and he waits, you know, for me. I turn the TV on and then I shut the light off and there I am. And then he comes up and he lays in. He has a spot where he likes to lay with me, but as soon as I shut that TV off, he's at the edge of the bed, facing the door, watching.
So he's a guard.
You know, they don't really sleep sound at night. They do more so during the day. And he'll graze his food at night. But that's what he does, and I just thought of it. Why does he do that? Isn't that silly? I never thought of it before. But that's what he does. He's watching. Oh, I'm going to see who's going to come and try to get my mom.
Right.
I mean, he's a big cat. If he went for your face or your neck, he could do a number on you. Cats can get really fierce. Their bites, they know where to go for it. They know what's vulnerable on you. So, but, yeah, that's what he does. And one of these days, I really want to get to Africa. I really want to see all these animals. That's one. I don't have a bucket list, but you know it's very costly. You need probably about $10,000 to go there, to do what you would like to do and be where you would like to be and see everything and go on all these safaris. And I told you I had a man who painted my house who lived there on a mission. He was on a missionary and he met his wife there, and they were there 2 years. And he told me, he says, if you ever go there, you call me first. I will set you up. And because he said you can waste a lot of time and money because some of the safaris and that are not reputable. But he said, I know so many people there. Can you imagine staying there? And that's how he met his wife.
I would love to go. That's something that, like, similar to you, it seems, you know, because of the cost and the distance, something that would be far-fetched, but if I was ever in a position where I could, you know, I could make that a reality, that would be something that I've always longed to do. I mean, just to see the beauty of the land and to see all the different species and their own habitat. I'm not really one for visiting the zoo, but, you know, I was going to say for some people that, you know, it just depends on how you perceive it. Some people can visit a shelter or a sanctuary or a zoo, and they can get a lot of positive energy from that visit, from, you know, connecting with the different animals. And for other people, that's not a positive experience. So if you know yourself, then you should probably not go if it bothers you to see animals in cages. And for me, it does. Now, going to the shelter, I don't do that anymore because I have my own dog. But I did, when I lived in Chicago, I did work with the ASPCA of Chicago. And, you know, I would go to the shelters and do different things from time to time. And I guess maybe because I felt that I was making a difference, it was a little bit easier on my psyche to do that, you know. It wasn't
right,
but the zoos, unless they're really good ones that have, you know,
I think Atlanta has a good one. I think there's a few
really
places that they really take a lot of care. My son met this vet, a lady vet, and that's what her dream is to work in a zoo. You need extra advanced education and stuff for that. But even though she's a veterinarian, they just don't hire you. You have to have extensive training. We go, when we go like to Disney and we go to see all the animals, Everything is free. They have it so that they have these ditches all the way around, and I mean, even the big cats cannot jump them because they have it all measured out. They know how far that cat is going to be able to jump, and it's pretty deep. So if they slip, they probably would end up dying down in this trench all the way around. But it's nice to see them just roaming and being free and loving what they're doing and sitting up like the lions were sitting up high on the rocks. And the funny thing is when one year we were there, they had this special sound for the gorillas to have them come in to eat. They made this sound, you know, and they know, I'm out of here. It's time to go in and eat. I mean, you know, I think gorillas, if you have them when they're really little, you still have to be careful. I think they're easily trained. But I saw some great things. I watched and I could not believe it. And same thing with the giraffes. We stayed where the giraffes were right outside our rooms. I mean, of course, again, there was a way that they could not come up to where we were staying. And I watched them. I mean, it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and they're out there feeding and they're grazing at the tall. Oh, I was in my glory. You would have thought I died and went to heaven. I mean, you know, and my son he was in the next room, and he'd lean over and he said, "Mom, are you still up?" I said, "Yeah, be quiet." I said, "I'm watching all the giraffes." I mean, and the little ones, you know, the babies. Oh, I was in my glory. That would be something I would like to do. Well, we'll just have to get all our friends together, and you and I will go on a safari.
That's right.
Why will we have the stories then, right? Woo! Yeah. Oh, yeah. But Candy's telling me a little story here. I wish she would call in because it would be a lot easier if she would just say it. But something about she had this, she doesn't really, a dog, dogs always bite her from on behind, she said. And she's talking about this, I don't know if this is a dog or if this is a cat, but this, because she wrote an awful lot. His name was Buddy, and she just said Buddy was there for me after I had been traumatized, and if it wasn't for Buddy, I'm sure I would not be here to share this with you today. He kept me focused and on track, you know. And she was talking about a cat. Sometimes a cat will tell you like I'm hungry or I'm thirsty. I mean, my son, talk about my son again, had a stray on his porch that he fed until it passed away. It wasn't even his cat. You know, and I go to the store and we get this little bag of cat food. And I said, "What are you doing?" Because mine has to eat this because males get crystals a lot and it can really hurt them. So he's on special food, and he has been for quite a few years. And I'm looking at this bag. I said, "What are you getting this bag for?" "Oh, well, you know, it's Tinky. They call them Tinkies on the porch, and we feed the cat." I mean, talk about a home away from home. I mean, it's a wonder he doesn't have everything on his porch, you know, because that's what he does. They gravitate to him. But back to Candy. Candy, I wish you would call in and tell us this story. It would be a lot better because it's really hard to catch it all in the gist, you know, sometimes the gist of something going on. But she felt that that Buddy was very special, and we only have 90 seconds here, so I guess I'm not even going to be able to say it. Maybe she'll – I don't know what our topic is going to be next week, and I could really extend it a minute or two. Let me see if I can still do it. If I can, I will, and then maybe she can come in. Oh, I could. Okay, I'm going to ask her, Candy, you need to call because it's a lot easier if you tell your story. It sounds like a really sweet story that what happened to her. She could have really been traumatized if it wouldn't have been for this animal. And I really don't know if it's a dog. It must have been a dog. I don't think it was a cat. You know, all the pets that I've ever had, except for Sandy, who was a little cuckoo anyways, you know, we didn't have her put down after she bit me. I just stayed away from her. You know, if you tried to bathe her, my husband had to bathe her. You could not get near her. She loved him, but she didn't love anybody else. And so, you know, and I had this one dog named Missy. She was the sweetest thing. But I think pets, you have to be careful with pets you have. And don't get a pet unless you're going to really love it and take good care of it. Make it a part of your family because it will give you so much love. Here, she's just called in.
Here, let's see what she has to say here, okay, Maya? It's a really sweet story coming from her. Hold on. Okay, Candy, you're live on the air. I would really like you to tell your story rather than read it, because I'm not going to read it properly, and you can really, you know, give us all the details. So go ahead, tell us what happened to you.
Buddy is a Pekingese, and he came to me in 2002. He was 3 months old. I never, ever wanted a dog, cat, or any animal with hair, but he came to me, and he was supposed to be my daughter's, but he ended up being mine. Obviously, he was just, like, supposed to be there for me. Anyway, I had him until October 30th, which was the eve of Halloween of 2010. In between the time, around 2005-2006, I had been traumatized, and I'm not going to go into that, but I was traumatized. I'm talking, like, severely. And if it weren't for Buddy, the time that I had him, I'm pretty sure that I would not be here today to tell this you guys about him, because after I got Buddy, like, you know, we had to move. I had separated from a relationship, gotten into another relationship. I mean, it was just a crazy mess. But on the day that Buddy passed, my significant other at the time came in the house. He was angry at the world. And I asked him, I said, please don't leave the door open, because I had a premonition. If you leave the door open, Buddy's going to run out, and I'm going to have to watch him get run over, and he's going to die. Please don't do that. Well, he left the door open on purpose to spite me, and my premonition unfolded in front of my face. But if it hadn't been for Buddy in my life all those years to help guide me and keep me straight and keep me on the path to life itself, you know, because he was there. He needed taken care of. He needed to go out and walk. He needed his fur brushed off when he came back in. He needed bathed. I mean, you know, he needed taken care of to keep, you know, just like normal. And if it wasn't for him being there with me, I wouldn't have been able to stay on track to work and live and do what, you know, live life is on life's terms. I'm sure of it. And he was very special to me in that aspect, because I felt like he was what they call a familiar. Some of us call animals some familiars, you know, they're like with us till we can learn certain lessons,
right,
and then they leave us. But yeah, like, that was very traumatic.
Yeah,
whenever,
you know,
he passed.
It was supposed to be there to nurture you. That animal gave you a lot of nurturing and a lot of love because you needed it. You need. I think, don't you agree, Maya?
Yes. Yes.
Because pets are wonderful. If you just show them love, unless there's something wrong with them, of course. So we're talking about kind of normal pets, but if they are, they can give you the greatest comfort. I mean, this cat that I have, it's like having a person. I'll walk around and say, well, it's me and you, kid. poor
That's
cat.
The way Buddy was.
I mean, you know, it just seems like they understand you and they know what you need. And I know Maya gets this a lot. I mean, she's got, how many puppies? You have 6 of them, right? The little Boopies. I'm their auntie, by the way.
Yes.
I've been designated their auntie. And I call them little Boopies. I don't know why, but you have 6 of them? Maya.
Right. What?
Oh, you have 6
yes.
puppies, right?
What?
I said you have 6 puppies?
Yes, I have 6 puppies, and yes, you're their auntie. And I think that with Candy, that was meant to be, that she needed that and the animal needed that. So it was a reciprocal relationship of love. I'm sorry that it ended the way that it did, but at least there was, you know, there was good before that.
Yeah, because that animal left you because you could be on your own. you know, it was a boy. It was a little boy.
Yes, yes, he was a little boy, and basically, I thought I was rescuing him because
I think it's the other way around. Yeah. How sweet. You know, this is just to tell everybody that pets can give you a lot of support and comfort, and I'm sure there's a lot of stories that we could hear. I know Maya's got a ton of them, and so do I with what I've had, but I've shared most of them. But I think, thank you, Candy, for calling in. I knew you would if I asked you to.
Call in
and tell me the story, because I can't read it. I wouldn't say it right, you know. I wouldn't give it the right emphasis.
Yeah.
And it's better when you hear the words. But I'm glad you called in. And I don't know what the topic is next week, but I'm sure it's going to be another good one. And watch for the promotion about that. Candy does the marketing on Facebook and Twitter. I do Twitter also. And then she picks it up and runs with it. I mean, and really runs with it. And, of course, you can reach both of them on starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. And always look at the blog that's there. That's done daily. And the magazine is mysticlivingtoday.com. And we're sponsoring right now, for at least the next 3 months, KKNW.com is a radio station with, I don't know, 60 radio shows that they have throughout the week and the day. And we're on their main. And I'm going to tell you, the reason that we're there is the man that I talked to the first time. His name is Eric. And I don't know if Eileen is listening or not, but I asked him, I said, why are you offering this to me? I mean, it was something that I had to purchase, but it's really a good deal. And he said, because I loved your voice. And he said, and I loved hearing you. And when you talk about something and you know it, he said, I would listen to you. I'd tell everybody, just talk to her. Listen to her. She's going to lift you right out of her chair, out of your chair. And because he liked my voice, that was one reason. So you see how you connect with people that go a little extra. And, of course, I love doing the show with Maya Moon. And Candy is always in the chat room. So with that, Maya, would you like to say your goodbye while we end this?
Yes, goodbye. And I would encourage everyone that can to consider getting some type of pet or fostering one, whether it's a bird or a turtle, a cat, a dog, a horse, whatever it is that you can fit into your life. It's an amazing experience, and the joy that you will receive is just indescribable. And with that, I wish everyone a good night and happy fur to everyone, or fur or feathers or whatever.
Right, feathers and furs. That's it. Okay, well, I'd like to say goodnight also. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Candy, for all you do. I love both of you very much, but that's a given. They already know that. But I like to say it on the air because sometimes when you hear it, it has more meaning. Like I was just telling Candy on Facebook that, you know, she's the mistress of pages. I mean, she can whip up things and post them here and post them there and see how blessed I am. And, of course, Maya Moon does a show every Monday night and is always there, and I'm the auntie of her little boopies. And I just love that. I just love being auntie. So I give them hugs and kisses through the phone or in a text or something. But anyways, we'll see everybody next week, same time, same station. And Candy, you want to say goodnight?
Sure. I want to thank everybody who's joined us tonight. Thank you, everybody who's joined us in the chat and listening on the phone and following our pages and Twitters. And blessed be to everyone. And thank you, girls, for everything you do. And I love you, girls.
We love you, too. Okay, with that, we'll say goodnight. We'll see everybody next week. Bye-bye.